Hi everyone, my name is Zach Redrup, you're listening to the It's Not A Phase podcast, and on this episode I'm joined by Steph and Paul O'Sullivan of Grey Wind. We talk about their new EP, Antidote, their turbulent career behind the scenes over the past few years, going viral on TikTok, Paul almost being recruited into the Paul O'Sullivan band, recording in America, and loads more. Now, if you enjoyed this or any other episode of the podcast and you want to show your support, there's a few ways that you can do that. Number one, leave a rating and review wherever you're listening to this. It takes just a few seconds and it really does help. Number two, share this on your social media, whether that be Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever. Or number three, if you want to go the extra mile, you can pay a little bit each month to join the Patreon, and in return you'll get access to episodes early along with some of our perks, or you can pick up some merch from the store. All the links to that and the podcast socials where you can follow us can be found at itsnotaphase.co.uk. That's itsnotaphase.co.uk. And now with all that out of the way, let's jump right into this week's episode of It's Not A Phase. What's up everybody? Thank you for joining me on this episode of It's Not A Phase, where I'm joined by Steph and Paul of Grey Wind. How are you two doing today?
Great, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes.
Of course, yeah, thanks for coming on. You've not long come off a UK tour, a few dates on there supporting As December Falls. How was it being back on the road again and, you know, performing live?
Oh my God, I felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders. It was just so good to be in front of fans again and just to be on a stage again. And we played our whole new EP live first time. So that was so weird as well to be playing songs. I felt illegal. I shouldn't be doing this.
We've been like sitting on these new songs for so long. So we were like, we can't even wait for the release of the EP. We just want to go on stage and start playing these new songs. And the reaction was absolutely insane. And getting to see like fans were like flew from New York and other countries just to see this and stuff. So it was kind of like, it's been crazy. The last seeing everything kind of explode for us in the last year has been crazy. So getting to see it in real life was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you can see all these like numbers and stuff online when you're like growing this following, but then you could kind of worry, like, how does this translate to actual real people in real life?
Exactly, because I've heard things where people are like, oh, I have like 2 million followers, and then like 5 people show up. So it's like, luckily we don't have that.
Yeah. So we're getting messages of people like flying from different countries and getting our logo tattooed, and it's just kind of, it's just amazing to see, like I said, see it in person. Like, because like Steph said, you can have like a million followers, but then it doesn't translate into in person. So yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, especially that kind of like dedication in terms of, you know, we can talk about this a bit more shortly, but you've had your fair share of speed bumps, shall we say, over the past few years.
This podcast might go on for 9 hours if we went into detail. Get ready.
Well, obviously the big news is, you just mentioned it, the new EP, Antidote, your first body of work since the debut album, Afterthoughts, back in 2017, you know, a few years there. And like I said, you've been through the ringers during those years. 100%. It must be so relieving. And like I said earlier, like a weight off your shoulders to be putting out new music. I mean, it's not new for you guys, but for the fans, it is brand new music.
It's so crazy. Even like I said, when we're playing the shows and hearing people singing and seeing people singing like the song Antidote and singing Swing and Sway, I was so like, wait, this feels like rock. It's like, wait, how do they know it? We've sat on these songs, like we've had these songs for so long, because we wrote these while going through, when Paul will tell you the beautiful story.
It's a dramatic story. It's a very dramatic story.
It's your cry, your laugh, but so we wrote those. We basically, the EP Antidote is what we've been through in the past like 6 years.
Every song on the EP was written and demoed in 2017, even before Afterthoughts came out. So we've been sitting on these songs for years, believing in ourselves even when no one else did, and believing in these songs, and we've been so patient. That's like the biggest like lesson we've learned, and what like a future, like hopefully other bands listening to, upcoming artists listening to us, is like the patience. Literally, like, we've been the most patient band in the world. And we've been too patient.
People were trying to get us to quit. And they're like, why won't they go away?
And now completely our patience has paid off, and the reaction to these new songs has been absolutely insane. So we can't wait for March 15th for everyone to hear the full thing. So it's been worth the wait.
Yeah, that must have been like so difficult, like you say, sitting on those songs for so long. Like I imagine, you know, there's always that kind of temptation, I guess, when you've wrote the song or you've created something that you're just so proud of and want to share with people, but
yeah,
you've got to hold on to it. like time is important.
100%, because like we've always felt like these songs are special, but it needs to be the right time. We've always been a band since day one. It's about more than the music. It's about the artwork. It's about the lyrics. It's about the music video. It's the imagery, even on what we're wearing on stage. Everything needs to be correct. Yeah. We don't like settle for just let's throw out a song and just throw us in front of a white background for a music video. We're like the complete opposite. Every single detail, even in people will notice this, and I don't know, they might not notice this in the EP artwork. Like every single song is referenced in the imagery to the artwork. So something, a certain lyric, like it's like I'm underwater and then the water froze from the song Here's Your Death Wish. That's why there's a river there. That's why there's a lake. Even the song Glimmer, my face in the river. That's why there's a river. Yeah. Medicine, the hospital. So this from the Swing and Sway artwork and the house from the music video, that's referenced in the artwork. So every little detail is even hidden in every, even if people go through our old tweets and old Instagram posts, we have loads of stuff hidden from even future stuff.
Instagram, I had leaked too many lyrics as a caption. And no one knew,
But yeah, we have so many. We always hide Easter eggs everywhere, even in music videos for future stuff that's not even out yet and might not be out for another year. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we always like pour our hearts into everything. So that's why we're very patient, because we want it to be done correctly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of thought press going into that then, because like you say, like the imagery, you've got like the medical cross, which is on the EP artwork, but then it's also in your like stage outfits and in the music videos for this EP as well.
Yeah, and I feel like even the stage outfits, we had the cross and then I pinned them onto everyone's like jackets on stage and stuff. And it kind of, I feel like it represents us basically saving ourselves and our fans saving us from such
dark times,
time. And I feel like everything just ties in. Like if you, and then seeing people turning up to the show and they're wearing their like
custom versions of it,
versions of our of the jacket I wore in the Swing and Sway video. They're making it themselves, and it's like what I grew up when I grew up listening to My Chemical Romance and Taking Back Sunday. I would be so invested in what they were doing, and I feel like people are like that for us now, which is so rewarding. And it's just
even like the amount of messages we get from like people saying how like our music saved their lives, or our music is an escape for them. It's kind of like it means so much, because like they, like we could be in the, like we've in the last couple of years, like we've been in like the lowest of lows at points, and we'd wake up and you see a message from a fan who's got a tattoo or they've done a cover, and I don't think people realize how much that means to us.
Like that would carry us both through like six months.
Yeah, exactly. It's like literally seeing that something as like simple as a cover for like, for us, it just means the world to us. So we appreciate our fans so much.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like the past few years have been like a struggle for you. And I know you've talked about it in other interviews, so I'm not going to ask you to kind of like claw away and cover that again, but just to kind of like briefly summarize for the people listening who might not know, because, you know, there'll be people who have been following you since day one, there'll be people who have only recently discovered you, there'll be people who don't know who you are. You know, for the past few years, I guess you've had trouble with like management and labels and false promises and all this kind of stuff.
I'll let Paul take this away.
See, like I've learned, first when I started doing this story, it took 4 hours. I can condense it into around 3 minutes now. So
you trim the fat a little bit now,
So like we're from the south of Ireland in a town called Killarney. And we're obviously siblings, but we could never find a band, really, and other musicians, because we're the only emos in town. Like we're we're like 4 hours away from Dublin, so there's no scene here whatsoever. So like years ago, let's just start. Let's just go into a studio for the first time. And our uncle had just taken his own life, and we started writing our first ever song to like help us cope with that. A song called Afterthoughts, and we wrote it and we were so proud of it. We were like, let's just go into a studio for the first time ever and just demo it and just ask the producer, can he just throw programmed drums on it so we can see what we sound like as a full band, because we've never played a show and can't find people. So we went into the studio, we were so nervous the first time, and we recorded demo of Afterthoughts within, Steph did her vocals in like 10 minutes and we just did it in a day, and we listened to it back and we were like so proud of it. So we posted it online the next day. And within 24 hours, every single major label, Universal, Warner Brothers, Sony, messaged us. Some of the biggest management companies and agents were messaging us and saying, who are we signed to? Do we have management already? And we literally thought it was like our friends like messing with us, creating fake emails. And then I Googled their names like and found these people are real on LinkedIn. I was like, oh my God, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Because we were like, this doesn't happen. Like we have no connection to the music industry whatsoever. Like, we
TikTok didn't exist at this point.
Yeah, like, this is our first time we've ever written and we've never played a show. So we ended up signing a record deal and signing to a big management company. And like looking back, this is crazy. We're like thrown straight away, told record your debut album. So like we were literally just in the studio for the first time like a month ago. We've never played a show yet. It kind of when we look back, it was kind of like you put your trust in these people that know what they're doing. I was like, why aren't we doing an EP? Why aren't we touring? Or you mean it's kind of like straight away we were flown to Texas to record our debut album. So. Like Steph struggled with the imposter syndrome of, and even the pressure of this album's going to represent us for the rest of your life. Yeah. So from when we signed a record deal to when we recorded an album, it was in the space of like 5 months. So for 5 months, I did not sleep.
Yeah, you didn't.
Because I was like, this is going to be the greatest debut album. We can absolutely make it this moment in our lives. I'm not going to look back and being like, we didn't give it all. So. I literally didn't sleep for fucking months.
I was crying every day, having panic attacks. It was bad. It was some really difficult time. But you're like, okay, like Paul said, this is representing me. This is everything I've ever dreamed of. Okay, I'm doing an album right now.
Why am I doing
an album? I haven't played a show yet.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be fronting a band. What's going on?
But that's why... I think that kind of sadness and you feel like you're living a dream, but that kind of pressure.
Yeah.
Pressure. I think you could hear, I don't think anyone listening to our debut album could tell that band has never played a show ever. We weren't in other bands and this is our first new band. This is literally our first ever band. So we are like so proud and even like that album is so like dark and beautiful and we poured our hearts into it. Like we purposely wanted like a Calm to Storm album, like inspired by the likes of Clarity by Jimmy World and Mineral and MCR and TBS and combined post-rock bands like Caspian and Explosions in the Sky. We wanted to create something really dark and beautiful. And I'm so proud of it. So then when we came back from Texas and a month later, before it's even mixed, we get a message from our management saying that we're being dropped by the label because... I don't want to say too much, but we're getting dropped.
We'll get sued.
Yeah, we'll get sued. But we haven't made them any money this year. But we didn't release any songs. So
how can you make money?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the we were trying to work it out as well. Yeah. But anyway, we got dropped by the label. But our management at the time were like, oh, it's all good because they had their own label through a major label as well.
Right.
So they're like, it's all good. We'll just release it through our own label. Your managers are your label now. And we were like, me and Steph were like, are we just going to be handed to someone at a label now that doesn't care about us?
That makes me even feel worse. Like my mental health was already declining. This just pushed me over the edge. And I was like, oh my God, no one likes us. We've just been dropped. I am dirt.
Yeah. But to me,
you were very positive.
I was very kind of like, okay, drop me, we'll prove you wrong type of person. And because nothing had changed for us in the sense we had like Zane Lowe playing our demo on the radio and fans, like I said, getting tattoos and we haven't played a show yet. So for me, I was very positive and I'm so like proud of these songs and stuff. So anyway, a couple months passed and we could tell that our management, the moment we got dropped, didn't care about us at all anymore. You mean we're trying to, you know, when you just get the feeling... They've switched off, but for me and Steph, nothing had changed. We were still so excited. We had every label in the world after us. We'd like, now we have an incredible album that's not out yet. So for us, the world was amazing in our Greywind world, but for our team around us, we could tell that they switched off.
We were just thinking like, why aren't you excited? Like this is where even I was so proud of Afterthoughts, the album Afterthought, because of what I kind of went through with that. And then to hear how oh my God, we got through that and it sounds this good. Okay, I'm so proud.
So then we started playing our first shows and we like support Thrice and we're playing like Reading and Leeds Festival and Rock and Ring and we had fans, like I said, like traveling from like different countries to see us and the reaction was insane. And even like the reviews, like being called like best set of Reading and Leeds. And that's like our 16th ever time on a stage. You mean it's kind of like, and we were so proud of what we were doing, but we could tell, like I said, our team has switched off. So now we're me and Steph were like, there was like the elephant in the room of like, we can tell they've switched off. We're going to get dropped any minute now. But we were like, it needs to happen type of thing. You know, you kind of think you don't
want it to happen.
But because you want them to care. So we're just playing like we're selling out a show in London. This will make them care. It didn't. We get called the best set of Download Festival. This will make them care. It didn't.
What do they want from you?
Exactly. It was after. What else can we do? Like, so then randomly one day my phone rings and it's someone at our management company. Like the lead singer is not even on the call. It's just me getting a random phone call, not a Zoom setup. And it's someone at the management company saying we're being dropped because 20 other albums on the roster are coming out next year. And like, we're not a priority. Yeah. So there was like a minute phone call from a random person.
Like I said earlier, it was as if they were trying to hurt us and kill us.
Yeah.
But right. They don't know Paul.
Oh, they don't. Yeah. I can't be killed. Like, I can't be killed. I'll get hit by a bus after this. So then, okay, now that we've been dropped, and so there are labels as well. So we've just been dropped by a management and label. I then check our emails, and our agent has now dropped us as well. So we've gone from signed to one of the biggest labels in the world, has the dream management, agent, life is great, to now it's just back to me and Steph.
To nothing, basically.
But for us, my biggest thing was like, but nothing had changed for us as like people. It's like, we still, like these songs, we poured our hearts into them and our fan base is growing in the limited amount of shows we're playing. So my mind was like, these people around us are crazy because I believe in us so much. So,
and then for me, it was like the opposite.
Yeah.
I didn't take it well and I didn't get out of bed. Like it just hit me. Like it was as if I did get hit by a bus.
Yeah.
It was bad. But like I always said, I'm so lucky Paul's in the band. Because they probably would have killed me.
Yeah. Here's the plot twist moment of the story. So when that major label first dropped us and our management said they're going to release the album, blah, blah, blah. So we got the termination contract from the major label and they gave us the rights to our album back. So when the proof of us saying how our team switched off and didn't care is they forgot to put a new record deal in front of us. And so me and Steph were always like,
never said it. It was always like the elephant in the room, never fully had the conversation about to each other. Like, which is really weird.
Because my mind was like, we can tell these people have switched off. Why would I say, hey, you forgot to put a record deal in front of me?
Get those cards to your chest. Like,
yeah.
So the moment we got dropped, we're like, all right, we need them to take it all down on our Spotify, YouTube, and we need to re-upload everything because they messed up. We own our baby album, thankfully. But they got back to our lawyer saying, no, Greywin signed a contract with Joan in New York. Me and Steph have never been to New York before.
Don't know. I never met Joan.
I don't know who Joan, if you're listening, like, I think you're a lovely person, but I've never met you. And like, so yeah, so me and Steph, in that period, we had written Swing and Sway, Antidote, every song on the EP in this period. So we were like sitting on songs that we believed were so special. And we were like, we don't want to start a new era yet when, first of all, we haven't promoted the Afterthoughts era yet. And we believe in that these songs so much that if we do explode with these new songs like we believe that we will, there's no way they're gonna not take down Afterthoughts and give it back to us. So we kind of, our plan was like, we're not releasing anything until we have the rights to our album back. So that's why we basically disappeared for like 4 or 5 years of playing scattered shows and not releasing any music from
that. COVID happened in the middle of that.
So from the outside point of view, it would seem like, what are Greywin doing? But we were being, I said, the most patient people in the world, because like
we never wanted to online be negative. Even still, like, even when we say the story, we're not, it's in a positive way of this is what we've been through. And if anyone is in a band, then
we wanted to
learn from this.
Yeah, we wanted to wait until the world was not perfect again, but the world was better for us again. Because there's nothing worse when you see bands complaining. Like, I remember seeing bands like they're playing Warped Tour and they're saying, I wish I was at home. I was like, shut up.
We're so
shut up.
grateful for, like, we know we're so incredibly lucky. Like, we got to go to Texas to record an album. We got to play major festivals.
And
like,
there was incredible moments.
It wasn't all bad. There was good, but it was scattered. It was like, oh, you're playing Reading and then you're home for 8 months.
Yeah.
Like,
So then... Well, then, like over a year ago, we finally get the message. Our lawyer tells us that they've admitted that they can't find a contract because one doesn't exist.
Yeah. I think that we would be a cockroach that would not go away. So, they'll be like, leave us.
They were like, they have no one cares about them. They have 2,000 followers on Instagram. They're not going to cause any damage. They haven't done anything in a couple of years. But they don't know who they're dealing with. So then we get the rights to our album back. We re-upload it to Spotify, YouTube, everything. And then me and Steph were like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
So then we go onto TikTok. This is what an Irish emo rock band sounds like. 5 million views on TikTok. We post it on Instagram, 6 million views. We go from 2,000 to over 100,000 followers in a week. And it's kind of like...
And it's from the songs
that got dropped.
And people are like, see? Put it in front of people and they might get it. They might actually connect to it.
We're
talking about real life things like that. Afterthoughts is about us grieving after our uncle had taken his own life. Like, it's, we're not just singing about, I don't know, like, you know, this people kind of need this music.
Yeah.
Like, that's what.
So yeah, it was kind of like, it was like, so kind of like the relief of knowing that, how, you know, when you just believe in yourself and these songs so much, and like we were so patient. So yeah, watching our fan base grow, like it was like the craziest week of our lives. Like, literally starting a week with like 2,000 followers, and by the end of the week we have like 100,000, and we're like, what the hell is going on? And since then it's even grown even more. And like I said, it's like, then it's like knowing we have these new songs now that we've been sitting on and waiting for the right time. So, and then we have like a new team, a new manager that is like the best manager in the world, and we absolutely love. And we like a new agent and a new label and a new team.
They actually care and they get it and they're passionate about it. They kind of get our vision. They're not in it for, obviously they're in it for, they want to be us to be successful, but they actually care about our art. Basically.
So now we're very like selective of who we let in now. Because before we went wrong and your first band, you're like
oh, I'm gonna sign to this management because they have this or that band.
Manage one of the biggest bands in the world, they know what they're doing. Then you realize
they don't
and then we meet the biggest band that they represent, and they're saying, yeah, they're idiots, we control it all. So yeah, that's a bit of tea there, but you mean, but so yeah, it's been crazy.
Well, clearly it's their loss now that, you know, if only they had believed in you. It's a big like I told you so moment.
Exactly. It was like I said, I really struggled, and even still, like I have my days where I still struggle. I'm not like, oh, everything's great again, but it's like a relief, like I said earlier. So another weight off my shoulders and off Paul's shoulders of, okay, we weren't insane, we're not crap. Like, there was a time where I thought I couldn't sing because I was told by people at a management, oh, you might have to sing a bit quieter just in case, like, you might not get this deal or this deal. And I'm just like, well, I'm not going to change who I am. Yeah. Like, I'm.
And that's what we even want, like, even like upcoming like artists listening to this podcast. It's kind of like, just as long as you believe, like, literally, you're going to run into like these suits and these labels and these agents and managers. It's like, as long as you believe in these songs, like a year ago, like, this is another thing, we haven't said this before on the podcast. This is an exclusive quote. A year ago, we were in a studio, like, no, that's where we are. We're at someone's house, say. We're showing them some of these new demos before we've even recorded them. And this is a big person in the music industry. And one of the songs we showed them was You're My Medicine and Swing and Sway. And they were like, never record You're My Medicine. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. Don't, like, it's not even like an album song.
Like, scrap that.
Like, scrap it. We released it 2 weeks ago, and the reaction is that it's the best ever Greywind song so far. That from online, people are losing their minds. And even Swing and Sway, we're told, don't release, a different person saying, you can't release that, it's lyrically too dark. And then again, the reaction to that, some people are already getting like the lyrics tattooed on them, and that's people being their favorite ever Greywind song. So even still, when, since we've gone viral, you still can run into the toxic people on the way, but as long as you believe, and you mean, that's the most important thing.
And like I always say as well, I feel like what happened to us was the best learning curve. I feel like it changed both of us. It made me a lot stronger and more confident. I believe in myself more. Mm. And I'm so happy that that happened, even though it was horrific at the time. But it was, I feel like everything happens for a reason. Yeah. And that was just the best learning experience. Yeah. And
it made us
so strong. I feel like we're bulletproof now. Yeah. You could literally today, like, you get comments, you get hate comments. Someone could say, "I hate you so much. This is the worst band I've ever heard." Okay, great. Whereas like 5 years ago, that would have just destroyed me.
Yeah.
Really, we don't get that. It's like, yeah. But yeah, it's kind of like, it's been like, we've been so patient, but it's been like worth like the pain and
all that suffering.
All worth the suffering.
I bet it feels as well, like, because, you know, you put this album out again and there's like so much attention and attraction to it. I guess it feels kind of like the album's been reborn again, like it's a whole new lease of life for it.
Yeah, it literally feels like when that time where we were getting those millions of views and we literally said to each other, "Oh my God, it feels like we've just released Afterthoughts." Yeah. It's what it should have. It was what it deserved. I feel like that album deserved that. It didn't deserve to be treated the way it did.
Like, it came out on the back of, like, Afterthoughts came up on the day of our 17th ever show.
Yeah.
Like, how can you promote, like...
And we sold out that show.
Yeah.
It was our first ever headline show, and still those people couldn't see it.
Yeah.
It was just so...
So, it kind of, like you said, like, it feels like the rebirth, and it, like, being able to promote...
Yeah.
Like I said, when we went viral the first time, it was like, oh my God, we're finally getting to promote our album. And that's all we've ever wanted to do. And even now... getting to like play these songs in the UK, and we just announced our first ever like US tour, and so being able to play these songs in the US for the first time, and like, we want to tour the world with these songs. So it's been like, our patience has like paid off.
I feel like even now the way the music industry's changed of TikTok and Instagram, I feel like it's in your own hands now. Whereas before, you kind of had to depend on, oh, I have to get signed to this, or I have to have this manager to open doors and stuff. It's like, it's in the artist's hands now.
Yeah.
And you can talk directly to your fans. It's just the best.
Yeah, I don't think bands have an excuse anymore of the sense, oh, this label kind of like, or you, like you said, I'm waiting for the manager, I'm waiting for the label. Literally, it's in like me and Steph had no manager, no agent, no label, and we're sitting here and we're seeing like millions of views, and we haven't playing any shows or anything. So it's literally Instagram and TikTok are like the two most important platforms right in the world right now, and it's going to change in the next like year or two. It's going to evolve, something else is going
to
come along, or
just go along with
and
luckily for us, it worked in our favor with that.
And even one of my favorite things is, with us going viral, it's like emo is like back in right now, and I can think one of the amazing reasons like our music is connected so much is that people can tell that we're authentic. You can see so many like bands popping up or pop artists, and they're using emo as the buzzword. Oh, it's in. I'm an emo pop band now, or I'm an emo band right now. I was like, you were an indie band like a week ago. Kind of like, literally, I love that our songs from like 2017, our first ever record, is like an emo, a dark, beautiful Camden Storm emo record, and it's being appreciated. So I feel like people can tell, oh, this band aren't doing it for the buzzword. They literally are an emo like band. We grew up like on Mineral and on TBS and like so many like classic emo records. And so like, that's my favorite thing is that we haven't changed in any way, and we're always like believed in ourselves.
Well, within our own bubble, we never kind of look at what anyone else is doing, what's trending, all that. So we just stick to ourselves. And I feel like, again, just stay true to yourself.
Exactly.
If you're in a band, if you're an artist upcoming, just stay true to yourself. That's the most important thing.
We mentioned getting a new manager earlier, and is that Casey from the Wonder Years?
So like we grew up listening to the Wonder Years, and like,
and he's just the nicest person ever. He's just one of my favorite people in the world, and the fact he's in a band as well, and they've gone through their fair share of stuff as well, so to have advice from him, he understands what we've been through, and he just looks after us so well.
Like, yeah, so we started like working with him, was it May last year? And we just had we started talking to each other on, he discovered our music, and he just had messages saying, oh, you guys are incredible. And we set up a Zoom. We're not looking for a manager or anything. And we just had our first Zoom, went on for like 4 hours. And I remember, and we're just talking about life and everything we've been through. And I remember we left the Zoom with him. We were like, he would be the dream manager.
And then we were like, wait, he's not, he doesn't
He doesn't manage anyone yet.
He's not going to manage us.
Yeah, because we were like, oh, he's so like intelligent and he's so like, he just gets us. And we had sent him the demos. And then we had another Zoom the next day and he was like, these demos are absolutely insane. Like the songs that cut us dropped. And he was like, I've never asked the band this, but I would love to manage you.
Yeah.
I was like, and we just felt, he felt the same connection that we did with him. And it's been amazing. And we've had, it's been the craziest couple months. So then we ended up flying to LA to start recording this EP with Casey producing and Sam Guiana, who's an absolutely incredible producer. So it's like, we went to LA first time for like 2 weeks. We came back to do the first two songs, Swing and Sway and Antidote. And then we went back in October to do the final three. So it's been such an incredible, like,
it's just been, I feel like it's just been needed. I feel like we just needed like some positive,
some good, but be surrounded. Because the thing is, like, everything can be great, you feel, but it's like surround yourself like with the wrong person. One toxic person can destroy everything, and your mental health suffer. So we're very selective who we hang out with.
Even in life, like with friends, relationships, I think it's so 100%. Important to surround yourself with good people and like-minded people. Mm-hmm. Because like Paul said, if there's one toxic person, it can ruin everything.
Yeah. So it's been like,
yeah,
the patience has paid off, and it's been like the craziest experience. And getting to record these songs in America, like we've always had a massive connection to America in the sense, like, we grew up being inspired by all these incredible American bands. And so getting to record our like debut album in Texas, that was like a dream like for us. Then now going back to recording our new songs in LA, and when we've been, our music's been going viral, it's been going viral in the US.
Yeah.
So our main fan base is in the US. So we were watching, like, wait, we have 150,000 followers. And I was like, 80% of them, we're looking on the stats, are from the US. We're like, oh my God. Like, and that's where we've always felt, we've always been drawn to the US. So knowing that's where our main fan base is, and we're like, we can't wait to play our first shows there.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it there. Like, it's good that Casey's also in a band, so he's kind of got that band perspective, so he can kind of relate to, you know, your kind of concerns and everything like that, especially considering your past, unfortunately.
Yeah. Exactly. He, when we were telling him the story, like we just told you, he was like, he just got it. He was like, that's it. He's been through similar things, like management's obviously, and it's just, he's seen it all, and he knows. I think he could tell as well that we're determined. We didn't quit like that. And rightly so, that could have made a bunch of people quit, like if any other band went through that. But we just have this determination of, we just believe in our songs and our vision so much, and I will not stop.
Yeah, it's like, this is all we've ever wanted to do was be,
we just want to play shows.
Play shows and tour the world, even if we're playing to three people. That's all we ever wanted to do. And so, yeah, it's like surrounding yourself with the people that believe, and like, yeah, and just do not care what anyone else thinks.
Even like in the studio this time when we were recording the EP, it was just completely different experience. I was so confident, I had fun, I was laughing in there, I wasn't having a panic attack every day. It was just because we were just surrounded by great people. It was just the nicest experience, and I felt like so much more confident in my vocals. I felt I wasn't scared to like try something different with my voice and even backing vocals and stuff. I was taking risks, and whereas recording Afterthoughts, I was way more like, oh God, I don't fully believe in myself.
But
you didn't know that, because I'm so proud of it.
No, the thing about Afterthoughts, what I love about that record so much is because the songs are so sad and Camden Storm, you sound so sad. And it's real. It's real emotion. It's real of like, so that's why I think that album has so much like magic in it. Because it's actually real. It's us grieving our uncle. It's Steph like suffering right now, thinking my dream is supposed to be coming true right now. Why doesn't it feel like that? And that's what that mixture of that album has, of like the darkness and like looking for hope. So I love that. Even it's just worked out so perfectly, and I'm so proud of that album. But then to write these new songs and knowing that we've lived with them for so long before recording them in LA, we weren't into that studio in LA being like so relaxed, knowing like these melodies we've lived with them for so long, knowing how we wrote this 7 years ago and this melody's still stuck in my head. Like, it's kind of like knowing that these like, and I don't know, I'm just so insanely proud of this new EP. Like with every record, we want to write, this is the greatest like with Aftos, I want this to go down in 10 years. People are like, this is one of the greatest emo debut albums of all time. And with this new EP, I want people looking back in 10 years, this is one of the greatest EPs in the genre. Like, so that's, we pour our hearts into everything.
I always want to do the best we can possibly do in that moment.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to regret and be like, okay, now I could have done a bit better. I've heard like so many bands say, oh, when I listen to our first album, I can't even listen to it. It's, because I shouldn't have written that song.
Yeah.
But whereas us, we're so lucky that I can listen to our debut album and enjoy it now.
Yeah. It's kind of like when we, like I said, when we leave a project, we want to be like, in our opinion, we don't care what anyone else thinks. To me, this is the best we could possibly be. The best debut album we could ever done. Like I said, this is the best EP
we could do.
And like, we think it's so special. And we're so excited for people to hear it.
Yeah. Well, as a kind of slight side note, you can debunk this if it's not true. But I saw online, Paul, were you asked to contribute to another band full of Paul Sullivans?
Okay, this is another thing. This is a tour story. Casey makes me tell this story. I've never told it on a podcast. You're the first person to ever bring it up.
There you go.
I'll condense it. Usually when I'm telling it on tour, people think it's by the end of it, they're in shock. Like, I'm going to try and condense it quickly. Okay, the night before we went into the studio to record Afterthoughts, our first ever song, I get in a message from a guy called Paul Sullivan on Twitter saying, can I send you an email? I was like, this guy is the best name ever. Of course you can send me an email.
Of course.
Yeah, of course you can. I trust you completely. So he sent me an email saying how he's starting a band called the Paul Sullivan Band. I'm the first person he's contacted, the first Paul Sullivan he's found, and he wants to start a band called the Paul Sullivan Band with all Paul Sullivans of the world. So he said he'll be on lead vocals. He can see online that I play guitar, and he's looking for a Paul Sullivan drummer and bassist. But like, so I was like, this is the greatest email of all time. And he's talking about like, oh, if we get on like Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon, like we can play in like on late night TV. I was like, this is insane, but it's the greatest email I've ever got. But I was starting Grey Wind. Like, this is the night before starting Grey Wind. So I said, thank you so much for getting time. This is hilarious, but all the best with it. And then like 2 years later, I get another email from Paul Sullivan again, saying that he's found his band, they got a music video done, and he sent me the track and it sounds sick and it's so funny. And so yeah, he ended up doing it. I was like, oh my god, this guy, his dream,
he found the other Paul Sullivan.
Yeah, you know, it's so sick. So then 3 years later, like over a year ago, I get another message. I see they're on the Kelly Clarkson show.
He did it.
Type in the Paul Sullivan, the Kelly Clarkson show. This guy, see, all Paul, like summarize. Paul Sullivan's are relentless. We get shit done. So like literally, like you could, like he literally went from, I want to start a Paul Sullivan band, are we gonna get on late night TV?
Did it?
He's on Kelly Clarkson show, and like, he's going viral. He's on like the news and stuff about Paul Sullivan band. So yeah, guys, if anyone's listening, check out the Paul Sullivan band, greatest band in the world. Second greatest.
That goes back to your advice that you said earlier: persevere and believe in yourself. Exactly. Paul Sullivan did.
He did
exactly.
He's inspirations to us all. Oh,
Paul Sullivan's are the most inspiring people in the world. Yeah. So literally, just as long as like you believe in yourself, like,
and he believed in himself.
Like I had that email. Like he waited like 8 years for that, the whole plan to come together. Like,
yeah, and it did. And Kelly Clarkson loved it.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just like, again, it just like, it summarize it. It's just like, just believe
and
you can achieve anything. Yeah. How long it takes,
even if people think you're insane. Like, I'm sure people thought that Paul Sullivan was crazy. Like, why are you doing this?
Like,
and he didn't stop.
Like, we've even in the period of we've been dropped by everyone to going viral, we had meetings with people in the music industry who were like, you guys are done.
You're damaged good.
We were tricked into a meeting by like a big label in the scene thinking they want to sign us, but we found out that they just wanted to make us feel like shit for some reason. They were like, this person in a meeting, I don't say too much. But it's like Kermit with the teeth. We can tell so many stories. Like, it's kind of like, really tricked us into a meeting, think, oh my god, this label want to sign us, one of the biggest in the scene. And there's someone, and it's just a trick to make us feel like shit, saying, you guys are damaged goods. Why are you still going?
You didn't deserve anything you ever played.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't worked hard enough to earn that.
Yeah. Do you feel like you deserve to play Reading and Leeds? And like stuff like this. It was like, I deserve to play this because I've like written special songs and I've been relentless and I've deserved to play where I am. So you
it's like people have just tried to hurt us, which again is horrible. But again, if you just believe in yourself and try and block out. Just put your blinkers on, like those racing horses, and just try not to listen to anyone, because that can destroy you. Like, it affected me for a long time.
Like, we have, like, multiple when we have, like, it'll be on our full Netflix doc or on Disney Plus in the next, like, 5 years. Yeah. You'll get, like, the full...
There's been a lot. There's been body shaming. There's been, you can't sing.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of horrible things.
Yeah, so...
It's a lot.
So literally, we've been like multiply shot in the head, but like we cannot be killed. Like we cannot be killed.
Fuck those guys. Fuck those guys.
Yeah.
Well, returning to the EP, like you said, you've had these songs for a few years. What was that kind of process like? Was there ever a time when you're looking back at these songs and you kind of wanted to tweak and revise them? And I guess as well, because it's been so long, is there quite a lot of material that has been worked on over those years that obviously people have not heard yet?
We have a lot. That's what we'll say.
So yeah, when we're in the studio, because we demoed them way, way back, and we're like a band that we're not always, we're going to fix up this demo even more now. We were like mental notes. We've listened to the original demo and knowing when we get into LA, okay, this is all new lyrics here. This guitar part changes, this melody part, Steph's coming up with new harmony ideas. So literally going into studio, we had the mental new demo in our heads. And and even with the, like having new ears on it with Casey and Sam and just them bringing their expertise to it as well of like, oh my God, this drum part or this extra quicker, do a quicker melody part here. It's like,
And Sam really pushed us to write more lyrics and basically expand the story.
Yeah, it's
basically.
Just pushed us, made like just taking everything to the next level. Yeah. Like this is this is our best body of work, like lyrically, like musically, vocally, in every single way. I feel like you can see everything is elevated times a million to this on this record. And so since we demoed these songs, we've obviously written so much more, and knowing what's the follow-up to all this, we're like, we have so many songs that
we've got the goods. Okay,
we got the goods. Like we have like so many like songs that we're so excited for people to hear. Even like we've always had the vision of, we know what album one sounds like, we know what like album two, album three, and we know the names of all these records as well,
right?
So we've always,
hopefully my phone never gets stolen, because I have all of my notes.
We've always had the vision of like even when we wrote Afterthoughts, we always knew that record was supposed to be, is going to be a Calm to Storm album. Like I said, it's inspired by like Clarity and post-rock and classic emo records. And we always knew the follow-up is going to be a faster paced record to show like a new side of us. And so we've always had that plan from day one. So now people discover our music, or fans who've always been with us, they're like, oh my God, this sounds so nostalgic, classic Raven, but it's completely feels new.
Yeah.
So that's why knowing what we've always had the vision in, like in every part of this band. So yeah, so the reaction to these new songs have been absolutely insane. Even being able to show like the different sides of the genre in this EP, for example, a song like Antidote, it's like a classic pop punk record. We grew up like Take This to Your Grave by Fall Out Boy and Blink and stuff and MCR. And so we wanted, so a song like Swing and Sway is like a classic emo, like Calm to Storm, like classic emo record. And then we have like Antidote when pop punk became emo in the early 2000s. Mm. And then we have songs like Here's Your Death Wish, which is basically like Thrice meets MCR meets Billy Talent. And so, and then You're My Medicine is basically like From Under the Cork Tree meets Three Cheers vibes. Yeah. So being able to show...
We basically tried to combine all of our favorite like moments from our favorite bands, but put our own spin on it.
Create something completely fresh and original, like taking like combining all our favorite bands and post-rock and just creating our own world with these songs. Yeah. And being a band from Ireland, there's like no one... There's no, like, we grew up always looking to, like, to America. Like, it's so being able to have, like, seeing, like, Irish kids and even older Irish people like discovering this genre of music through us for the first time, and it's been incredible to see.
Or
and
even the emos that do exist in Ireland being like, yay,
finally. yeah
represent.
Yeah and that's literally like not holding back in any way, like I said, like even like lyrically, like saying like what how we feel and not caring, like we've even been told in the last like 2 weeks like this certain places can't play our record because it's too dark.
Yeah.
It's lyrically too dark. So yeah, so still now you still get that the toxicness of the music industry of like try change, or like, and we're like, nope, we've like we know what we are, and we're not,
I'm not writing for
we're
radio.
Not dilute, we're not, not we've sure. Never been like, let's write a song for radio. We literally don't care about any of that. We just laugh when we get the feedback in of holy shit, this is the best song, rock song of the year, but we can't play it because it's lyrically too dark.
Yeah.
It's like, and the thing is like, we're talking about like real things, like dealing with like suicide and depression and like an anxiety, and that's the biggest and most important thing to us is just being relentless. And I love with the
being lot, real, not
being
diluting ourselves.
Like a lot of people, again, like with mental health, you can see bands starting to use that as a buzzword and stuff. It's kind of like, literally, we've been through like so much. And like, I love that on TikTok and Instagram, you can just be real and like fans will find you.
Yeah.
You mean if you
be patient.
Just be patient.
Posting on TikTok, like, even
for years,
we weren't like,
didn't have
it
any.
It wasn't just like, oh, we just put our first video and then blew up. It was like, we were putting up videos, and even like, I'm sure there's bands listening that are like, oh, but I've done the TikTok thing and it's not worked, but just keep posting because it will click.
I think the biggest, like, we have multiple stories.
We have too many stories.
I won't go, this podcast will go for another 7 hours, but we're told by someone, like a person we started working with, like, oh, you need to do covers on TikTok. You need to cover Olivia Rodrigo and follow the trends. And we were like, no. Well,
you need to put your dog in a video and pretend to be scared of it.
That will go viral. You mean? So when we were posting on TikTok for those years, we were posting little fun of like Steph singing TBS a cappella or MCR like a cappella or stuff. So we were never... You were always kind of, I think even right now, you're told new content. It has to be like, so we, as soon as when we were, it hit us, it's like one day, like when we got the, finally got the rights back to our album, we're like, wait, we've been told all about new content. Why can't we promote Afterthoughts?
Yeah.
We've kind of brainwashed of everything. Yeah. If you see these gurus coming up on TikTok and Instagram, be like, you need to post this new content, promote your new song, or blah, blah, plan it 6 weeks in advance and stuff. So, like, as soon as we got the rights to the album back, I threw anything I ever heard out the window. I was like, I'm promoting a song that we released 5 years ago.
Even like our music videos, people hadn't seen. So, Paul, like, was clipping up our music videos.
Yeah.
And it's like, it is new content.
Yeah.
No one knows who we are.
Exactly. That's what I thought. Well, hopefully, like new artists, up and artists listening to this would be like, literally, if the song, if it's new to the listener, it doesn't matter if it came out 20 years ago.
But even now, we'll still put up songs from Afterthoughts. We're not going to stop doing that in like 5 years from now. We'll still be posting that.
Like,
because we'll still be new to someone.
Yeah. Like, we currently have our song, like today, Antidote, is going viral on TikTok today. And we woke up to another like 200,000 views on it. And like a week ago, it was it The Lake or something, a song that we wrote like 7 years ago, going viral. And people are like, oh my God, this is my favorite song of the year.
Yeah.
And they don't know, to the listener, it came out today.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of like, just literally, if it doesn't matter how old your content is, if you believe in it, just literally you can achieve
fucking anything
literally. And you can find the right audience. You mean? Yeah. So that's what I love. I'm like, we're very like proud to be like an artist that posts on Instagram and TikTok, because a lot of bands see it as a, oh no, I have to promote myself. I see bands complain, oh, now I have to be a content creator.
It's like, yeah, but that's like literally just record a video for like 5 minutes.
Literally, we're just seeing bands complain all the time. It's kind of like, it's like years ago, it's like, oh my God, I have to do a, like probably like 30 years ago or 40, whatever long, I have to do a music video now. Oh, but I want to just write music. That's what's happening right now. Is like, I think a lot of bands, they just,
it's like, get with the times.
Like, it's not even get with the times. It's like, how badly do you want
you
this?
Want it.
Is it really that difficult to grab 15 seconds of a live show you did recently and post a clip of it on TikTok? Is it that much effort? Because
yeah.
that's what's gone viral for us. It was like a, it was like we played in Bridgewater.
I think there was probably like five people there.
We played in Bridgewater on a tour in 2018 to five people, and we loved it.
Yeah,
we just wanted to play shows. Yeah. And that clip from that show got us 100,000 followers.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So even like things like literally we played to five people and that show like had changed our lives. Like a clip
it's
from that.
It changed our lives in a way, that show. Yeah. Which is crazy.
It's kind of crazy. And then we said, okay, here's a clip from another show. And it got another million views. So Carspin went viral.
I think there was probably like 15 people at that show.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of like Carspin went viral first. Then it was Afterthoughts and In Autumn. Yeah. Then The Lake. And now it's the songs like Antidote and Swing and Swear being discovered. It's kind of like literally just post your songs and like literally just be relentless. If you want this bad enough, you like just
instead of complaining about it, the time that you took complaining about it, you could have just made
like,
a video.
Like in the period, like we were dropped, we never once went online saying I've been dropped by my agent and label.
And we could have done that.
And manager like feel sorry for me. We were like, we want to do something special and tell our story now. Of like we were went through so much shit, and people like from the outside were like, oh, this band are done, and we wanted to be like. I want to have an inspiring story of like we came from south of Ireland, connections to no one, had supposedly our dreams come true, had that all ripped away from us, and then by ourselves build it up again. And now I want to be able to tell that story now, like literally your dreams can come true and things can fall apart and just you can, it doesn't, we didn't have our chance. Yeah. A lot of people say, even Eminem in like Lose Yourself thinks he had that one shot.
One opportunity.
Like he didn't like Marshall, like, you have multiple shots. It's kind of literally so. That was good. That's the first time I've ever used that.
Phone Eminem.
Yeah. But literally, it's like literally just believe in yourself and just don't stop. If you want it bad enough, like show it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned shows before, and you mentioned earlier as well, US tour at the end of April and in May.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about that?
Oh my God, we're so excited. We just cannot wait. Even the amount of messages we're getting every day of people saying they're going to be driving like 8 hours.
Flying from different parts of America to see us.
It's just going to be amazing. Even the bands we're playing with are amazing and they already just seem like such nice people as well. So we just cannot wait. And I just can't wait to eat American pancakes.
Yeah, every day.
Every day.
Like in California, In-N-Out Burger is my favorite thing in the world.
We're just going for the food.
We're just going for the food. We might play a show while we're out there as well.
Yeah. You can go to IHOP and did you know In-N-Out have like a secret menu? Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Animal style. So good. And also, have you been to LA before?
Yeah, a few years ago. Yeah.
So, Hi-Ho Cheeseburger. I discovered it on my last trip through Sam, our producer. It's like
it changed our lives.
It changed, but I think it's the greatest cheeseburger ever had. Like I've always been an In-N-Out lover, and I still am. But In-N-Out and Hi-Ho Cheeseburger. If anyone's listening, next time in LA, go to Hi-Ho.
If you ever want to meet us in America,
If you ever want like a Greywin meet and greet, we'll be in Hi-Ho before a Greywin show in LA.
Yeah. Little meet and greet, yeah.
So excited. Yeah. And even to be able to play Afterthoughts over there and play these new songs, and it's just I can't believe we're actually get to go.
Well, what other plans are in 2024 so far that you can talk about? I imagine not a lot you can talk about.
Not a lot. Just mostly like I said, like March 15th, the new record is out. Then we have that tour in April and May, and we're working on so many other things. Like we'll be back in the UK later this year. We've never toured Ireland fully before. We've only played like some Dublin and Belfast, and so we came back to Ireland, even Europe. We've only played in Germany once at Rock and Ring. So
we want to get to Australia. We want to go to Japan. We want to go everywhere.
Just know, like, you know, so many bands when you get a comment from a fan being like, oh, when are you coming to Japan? And like, hopefully one day, just know that we're working on everything to make things happen. So getting to tour the world in the next year to two is the aim. And we're working like relentlessly on making that happen.
Yeah. Well, you had a shit time, but it seems like now you guys have really come out the other end, you know, stronger, better. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just so exciting to hear that you're finally getting flowers for all this shit you had to go through.
Thank you. I know. I can breathe now.
I feel like this podcast has been like therapy for us. So thank you.
No problem. Thanks for coming on. Yeah, I really appreciate your time. So thank you for that and sharing your stories and obviously your insight and advice for other up and coming bands that, you know, might get hungry at these opportunities that come in the industry, but you just need to be wary of who you do trust.
100%. Exactly. Like literally when you see like a big artist like on someone's roster, it doesn't mean they're going to treat you like that artist. You mean you have to be very like selective. But the thing is, it's like I was saying, it's like you need to learn these lessons.
Yeah, you
need
even if that does happen to you, great. Or you might have a better experience.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean you could have the best time and you could blow up and be massive. It doesn't, this is our story. This was the path that we went on, and you know, just be wary and trust yourself.
Yeah, that's the most important thing is, yeah. Trust yourself and be patient. That's our basically life lesson that we've been through is like, trust yourself and be patient. So, and it's in the end, it's paid off, and we can't wait to see when we're back on this podcast in 5 years, where what we've done. And we'll be like, everything fell apart again and we had to build it back up again for the ninth time.
Like, yeah. and
you would have joined the Paul O'Sullivan band by then as well.
Exactly. See, at least I have a backup plan. Steph doesn't.
I'm just going to sit with my dog at home.
Yeah. Well, you can start the Steph O'Sullivan of the world tonight.
I'll create a Steph O'Sullivan band.
Yeah, start Steph O'Sullivan band, yeah.
Battle of the bands.
So a co-headline tour.
Yeah. No, if we ever announce that tour, things have gone terribly wrong.
Well, before I let you go and enjoy the rest of your day, any final words, anything you want to say or plug, floor yours.
So yeah, our new EP Antidote is out March 15th, and you can follow us on everything on social media at Greywind Band. I'm at Paul Greywind, that's at Seth Greywind. We've been at Greywind.
Awesome. Thanks again, guys. Have a good day, and hopefully I'll see you soon when you're touring back in the UK.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Thank you. Bye. See ya.
And that is it. Thank you so much for listening. Again, if you enjoyed this or any other episode of the podcast, then please leave a rating and review wherever you're listening to this. If you want to support the podcast further, you can go and give it a follow on social media, pick up something from the merch store, or subscribe to the Patreon to get early access to episodes. All the links can be found at itsnotaphase.co.uk. That's itsnotaphase.co.uk. Thanks again. Hopefully catch you on the next one. And remember, it's not a phase. It's a lifestyle.